Capitalism drives innovation, growth, and prosperity, but it hasn't worked for everyone equally. A decade ago, delivering value to shareholders was all that mattered. Now, it's not enough. A purpose-driven approach has become a key imperative for corporations and central to discussions among business leaders. But good capitalism is more than just philanthropy. It makes great business sense. So what does it mean to lead with purpose? I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the So What from BCG.
The days of having a major corporation in any city and just saying, I'm only going to make money, they're over. This is over. And if you're a CEO, it is part of your mandate for your shareholders to accept this reality and address it in the right way.
Today I'm talking to Jim Lowry, a senior advisor at BCG, and is the first nationally recognized workforce and supplier diversity expert and BCG's first African-American senior partner. He started the firm's Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Initiative.
The big question, Georgie, is when corporate America initiated many of these efforts many years ago, what were their goals? And I'll be very candid with you. I think initially there were riots in the streets in America. So I think initially most of the programs and initiative was just to quiet down the masses. So they threw a lot of money after a lot of things and it didn't work. And I think that was the original thing. I think it's evolved over the years. So I think you had a different kind of leadership, a younger leadership, a more progressive leadership, a more intelligent leadership that now see it as a different thing and really making sure that is part of the business agenda. Before it was not. It was something they did. It was philanthropy. It was something that they were told to do, but their hearts weren't in it. Minority business has to be looked at as a business initiative, quotes, not a charity event. To ensure that the trillions of dollars, and I really feel many of CEOs are making the commitment that they're going to be different, has to be allocated and leveraged differently. That CEOs should assign their top executives, irrespective of race, to issues proactively rather than reactively. The CEOs should vet the organizations soliciting corporate support and investments. I feel very strongly about it. I wrote that in my book. I think the other thing, we should work collectively and effectively in an ecosystem and communities in which the CEO and their companies reside and operate and do it in a way that makes a difference. The days of having a major corporation in any city and just saying, I'm only going to make money, they're over. This is over. I mean, the populations that surround a corporation, wherever it is, south side, east side, you know, suburbs, that ain't going to change. It's going to get worse. And if you're a CEO, it is part of your mandate for your shareholders to accept this reality and address it in the right way.
What were the big changes that you noticed throughout your, how many years are we talking now, Jim?
Many years. Since the 60s,
I believe.
Yes. You know, and I thought about that because we talked earlier. And I think when I started out, you know, I went to a private school. I was very fortunate to go to a very elite private school on a scholarship. And coming out of that experience and seeing many very successful parents of my classmates, my goal was to be rich. And then over years of living in Africa, living in Peru, working for Bobby Kennedy in the inner city of Brooklyn in New York, it changed to a purpose. When I saw corporate America thinking about doing the right things, and I was fortunate enough to work at another consulting firm, I won't mention the name of the firm, where they trained me on being a consultant. It gave me access to understanding how power works. Understanding the free enterprise system, understanding corporate America and the leaders and what they think. And that's when I said, they don't really have it right. And because of my experiences, maybe with the Peace Corps, working with Bobby Kennedy, I don't know. And they just don't have it right. And so that got me going on my purpose is to take the good intentions of corporate America and the good intentions of CEOs and try and steer them in a direction so they could really have impact on the problems and having a positive impact on the free enterprise system.
But it's a really important question, and I think a lot of businesses, a lot of investors ask this, can I do good and still earn a buck, a good buck?
Well, Georgia, you ask great questions. I mean, I think that that is where we are today. Because I think if we only look at a corporation in terms of the next quarter's profitability, it's a very short-sighted view of why we do all this. I could say the same thing probably in London. But if I look at Chicago and say, if we'd have done all the right things when I first started my journey, we wouldn't have the serious problems that beset our communities, beset our cities, beset our countries, because we didn't do it. We looked at it differently as a charity, and I think that's a mistake. I really believe, and I say this, and I write a lot of articles, I've even written a couple of books on it, is saying it is in the best interest of the free enterprise system to include more people of color in a meaningful way, not in a token way, but in a meaningful way as partners, because the population is changing. I think, what is it, in the year 2045, the majority of the people in the United States are going to be brown and black. They're going to be minority. So either they're going to be producers of wealth for the good of all of our society, irrespective of race and gender, or they're going to be consumers of other people's wealth. I really believe that very strongly.
So that's been your purpose for many, many years. For others, yes, it might be gender. Now, of course, we're hearing a lot about climate change.
Right.
What do you think is spurring it on in this moment?
I think that people are concerned like never before. There are many young people who have gone into corporate America, who've gone into government, who I think, according to me, believe in the right things. They want to do the right things. And they want to make money, too. I wrote an article, it had to be about 15, 20 years ago, when I was at Harvard speaking to young students at the Harvard Business School, and one of the young ladies said, "Yeah, Mr. Lowry, I'm really torn. I really want to make money, but I want to do something for the community." And so I went back to when I was living in Bedford-Stuyvesant and working with Bobby Kennedy. And I was out there working every day as a community organizer. And one of the guys, he had just left the gang. And he said, "Jim, you really care about us. You're out here working all these long hours. You do care about us, but you're not in the Peace Corps anymore." He said, "If you really want to help us, accept one thing. Poor people can't help poor people." And that was the advice I gave to this young Harvard student. And she wrote me a very personal letter. And she says, "You've kind of allowed me to breathe now." And that's what I believe. I strongly believe that we can get more people thinking, accepting the givens. I mean, I believe in the free enterprise system. I believe in the capitalistic system. But we just got to make it better. We got to make it more progressive. So if you make a lot of money, what do you do with the money? How do you invest the money? I mean, what foundations do you start? What boards do you serve? So I think accumulating wealth in itself is not bad. It's what you do with the wealth and who do you support with the wealth and how, to what extent does it becomes the underpinning of your culture from your cities and for your nation.
What's your perfect vision then? If we're going to be more visionary, with all your experience, what does the ideal system look like? How do we get there? And what role does business play in this purpose-driven approach?
It has to be business-driven. And the first major report I did for the Department of Commerce in 1978, I said government can be the catalyst for change. But if real change is to occur, it has to be the private sector. I have not changed my opinion since 1978. And I think the question is, to answer your question, what does it really mean? What would be the nature of that involvement, or more importantly, the nature of that leadership? And what I've been working on, which is also part of my purpose, because coming out of my early years of analyzing it, experimenting with it, leading it, I guess, writing books about it, is that until corporate America accepts that minorities have to be real players at the table as they make decisions, be they inside the corporation or outside the corporation as strategic partners in minority business. I strongly believe, I've been writing about this, I haven't changed at all, that until we have a large population of black, brown, and Asian leaders, and women leaders, I was talking about women a long time before it was fashionable, until we have them as partners creating wealth, distributing wealth, making decisions about policies to have lasting impact, we're all gonna lose. And so that's why, so, you know, I'm a strong believer in the small business environment and entrepreneurs who started out maybe one family doing a business and it goes to the next generation, et cetera. But I don't believe we will see the impact we seek if we think the only way you're going to do it is small business. The vast majority of businesses that are of color, minority businesses in the United States, have no employees. They're self-proprietors. They have no employees. So what I've been advocating is having them think out of the box in terms of taking the existing minority businesses and really having strategic partners. And we helped do that in Detroit. Before the report I did in 1985 for Ford Motor Company, there had never been a major corporation in America doing over $1 billion for minorities. Never. And we told them how to do it. And interesting enough, we just wrote an article, BCG partner and myself and our client, wrote an article about that experience, about how we form strategic partnerships with large white firms and minority firms and work with them over a period of time. And so now if you look at Detroit, some of the most successful entrepreneurs, but more importantly, the real leadership of Detroit came out of those experiments, working with and growing these minority leaders and growing minority businesses. So I think that's what has to happen. And I think we all got to think. I think minorities have to think out of the box.
Do you think you find your purpose, or does your purpose find you?
That's a great question. That is a great question. I think you find your purpose. Now, let me go out on a limb. I think everyone should seek to find their purpose. There should be something in your life that gets you up every day and saying, I got to do better, or I have to achieve X. That's my purpose for my family. But I think you should also have a larger purpose for yourself in society. Everybody can make it, but I think the circumstances also have a lot to do with it. If I hadn't been asked or given a scholarship to go to Tanzania, I wouldn't have been affected the same way. I did it because I wanted to do it. I did it when I was, living in Tanzania with no electricity. I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I felt the power, not the poverty, the impact of poverty had on me and saying to myself, this is not right. People should not live like this. People should not be denied the basics in life. Kids should be able to look forward to something that's really important so it's better than the other generation. So that was a driving force, But Georgia, I'll be honest. I mean, I think, because you're making me deal with reality, if I hadn't gone to the right places and been with great companies that educated me and rewarded me financially, I don't think I could have had the impact I had. And sometimes the institution or the individual can help you have a clear voice that can affect change. Some are doing. I think that's another thing. I think because of George Floyd, and the impact George Floyd had not only on the U.S., but I think around the world, the CEOs for the first time are dealing with this. I know the Business Roundtable is dealing with it. I know the CEO summits are dealing with it. They never even talked about it before. But I think it forced them to go inside and on themselves and on their corporation and say, what can we do differently? If you really want to affect change, and maybe that's my early training as a consultant. I'm not about just going through the motions. I'm not getting hung up on the process if the process doesn't lead to anything. As you know, my whole purpose is to make life better for more people. And if you made life better for more people, we'd have a better place to live.
Jim, what a lovely place to end it. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for listening. We'd love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this podcast, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.